Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub. The Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our time, looking up any pertinent information we might need, he is the Poet Laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity, but we call him Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man that I know would not have finished last had he entered the women's breakdancing competition in this year's Olympics. He is Lil Fresh, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Raycom, I'm coming for you. I got you, Raycom.
Dude, why do you smell like mayonnaise? You smell like mayonnaise. Did you buy that new Will Levis cologne? Because I smell it thick tonight.
Do you smell it?
Yes.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. Are you just putting Hellmann's under your earlobes?
Is
what's going
just
on?
Is mayonnaise or Miracle?
So it's Miracle Whip, it's apparently a blend of mayonnaise and coffee and a couple
and high karate,
a couple herbs and spices.
Right.
So
put a little high karate in there.
I think it's gonna there's gonna be a bottle next to your bottle of green polo that you wear.
I think that was really funny.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
He is America's favorite D-bag, but I like how he's leaning into the D-bag thing.
Yep.
Like, the world thinks this of you. You just lean into it. And I almost am more of a fan of him now because of that. That was probably the coolest thing I think I've seen him do.
Yes.
I think that's a new record.
What's that?
For D-bag being spoke the quickest on the podcast.
Yeah, well, we're up to three now, I think.
Tuna, can he break dance?
Oh, I have no idea. He's no Ray Gun.
Okay.
But, which is what a name for a breakdancer.
Raycom.
Is it Raycom or Ray Gun?
Raycom, Ray Gun.
Ray Gun, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, she was a...
Sound like a street fighter name.
Well, she wasn't much of a breakdancer.
No. She swept the floor up a lot.
I love that she got 2 free weeks in Paris.
Dude, had a party. Like,
oh,
she's
hell
like...
Yeah. Like, I mean, all respect to her... And for those that don't know, if you didn't watch, and I'm sure most people, if you're listening to this, know now that there was an Australian woman in the breakdancing competition who received a 0.0 for her
popping
performance, if you want to call it that.
I think a 0.0 is more impressive than a high score. Like, you got to pull something.
It is.
How did they... I'll be honest. I did not watch 1 second of breakdancing.
I watched it, and I still don't know how they scored it.
No, it was...
Even Lil Fresh didn't know.
I was telling Fred, I even watched Steve Kornacki's little demonstration about how they were going to score it, and I still couldn't figure it out. But with that... And apparently, it's not... going to be a sport in the next summer Olympics.
I knew it.
but I did enjoy it. I mean, I hadn't seen anyone break dance in probably 25 years, so I had no idea what
I thought they
I
might
watching.
Have some throwback songs like Chaka Khan or something, or, you know, the Message, or...
I did think it was kind of cool that the...
The music
participants
was weird.
Didn't know what song they were
right,
going to be dancing
right. They
to.
They didn't get it.
But then
the guys were good though. They were pretty good.
But then my other thought was, how do you get that gig as the DJ at the Olympics?
You got to know people, man.
I mean, that'd be a hell. That's a hell of a gig.
Maybe Snoop had something to do with it.
He very well might have.
Was it the same DJ that did the skateboarding? Because they had a DJ over there too.
Yeah, they did have a DJ. I'm not sure.
I'm sure these were specialized.
Obviously,
breakdancing.
Yeah, the breakdancing was obviously a lot more judged on not waving and popping and doing this kind of thing, but more what you do on the ground. You know, with your arms spinning, helicopter, propeller,
all the stuff that Lil Fresh was very proficient at.
They didn't even have cardboard though. I feel like they should have had some cardboard.
They should have had some cardboard. Yeah, cardboard is the, I mean, dude, if you ain't got cardboard, tile just ain't getting it.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you give Australia some cardboard, she may have.
And I would have spray painted my cardboard.
Instead of doing the T-Rex the whole
time. You
know,
you spray paint your cardboard, too, and do some.
I do want to remind everybody, we are on social media at Blockout Pod on Twitter, X. Type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search engine. And before we get started tonight, I wanted to first of all thank, I know this is like an antiquated way of reaching out to people now, but we did
send a pigeon.
We got an email from a listener this week at blockoutsportspod@gmail.com. So if anybody wants to write the show, you can reach us that way. But it was interesting because apparently, and he did not give his last name, but this is Timothy H. And he is writing us from Leeds in England. And to paraphrase, he said, I heard the other day on the show that Tuna didn't think that we had any listeners from England. He was wrong.
We certainly do.
I just wanted him to know that.
Okay. I'm sorry, Timothy H.
That's all.
I misunderstood our international outreach.
And he did mention you by, he didn't mention any of us. Mm. He mentioned you by name. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay.
And we thank you for listening. And maybe I'll become I had to look up where Leeds was when I saw that. I have no idea. I'd heard of Leeds before. It's in Yorkshire, England.
Yorkshire.
Or sure. Depends on what part of the country
Yorkshire.
You're from.
Yorkshire?
Yes.
Okay, it's Yorkshire?
Yes.
Okay, Yorkshire, England. Sorry, Tim.
Kind of like Louisville.
and they have a soccer club that is very well known and well respected. I might have to, since that was the first email we've ever gotten from a listener on that email address, I might have to go buy a Leeds FC jersey to wear at some point. We'll take a picture.
We're officially a Leeds podcast.
We're officially all over Leeds now. And I love it.
It didn't take much, did it?
No.
We will follow Leeds.
Just think what everyone could do. That's cool.
What's the soccer team?
Thanks for reaching out, Timothy.
It's Leeds FC.
Wait, maybe we should get a jersey and hang on the wall.
I'm going to wear one. I'm going to get one and wear it. But thank you for reaching out. Anybody else that wants to reach out? Again, that email address, and I very rarely put this out there, but the email address is blockoutsportspod@gmail.com. So on Sunday, the Olympics wrapped up, closing ceremonies. I got to be honest with you, I did not watch hardly any of the closing ceremonies, so I can't really comment on that. I can tell you that, at least to me, and I know we've hammered this ad nauseum for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but the broadcast continued to be, I thought, top notch. I loved the way you could consume this particular Olympics from a streaming standpoint. I thought the announcers were fantastic. And the second week of competition might have been even better than the first. I hesitate to say, maybe it's like recency bias, but I felt like this was maybe the most exciting Olympics that I can remember, whether it be the swimming, the track and field, especially the sprints. It always helps, of course, when the United States does well, which they did. They tied with China for the most gold medals and then easily won the total medal count. But I thought I would, just to put a bow on the Olympics, throw it around to you guys, ask you for maybe 2 or 3 guys that you really appreciated, not guys,
or
athletes,
women.
Just athletes that you appreciated from this Olympics, and maybe a memory that will stick with you. Fred, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, wow.
No.
Changing it up.
Well, I did want to say just some things that happened that we didn't see on that last show, but what Gabby Thomas and Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone, if that's how you pronounce her last name, Lavrone or Lavrone, winning the 400 relay. You know, they now have, what, two, maybe three gold medals each. They are in my top five best athletes in the Olympics. If you did not see both of them, both easy on the eyes as well. They could be freaking models if they wanted to. They're so smart on what they do on a day-to-day basis away from being an athlete, and what they did on the on that track was simply amazing. They really, I now know who they are, believe me. I have to throw in, obviously, Ledecky for everything she did. I have to throw in Simone Biles for what she did. And the gymnast.
Did you call her Simone Biles?
Was it Simone?
Simone.
Simone. Simone Biles.
Like Ferris Bueller's girlfriend.
Right. And, you know, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, dude, might be my MVP. And I know that's hard to say because of so many individual athletes doing individual things. But Steph Curry made the Hall of Fame in Paris, if he wasn't already in it. There's been chatter that he needed to do more to get in the hall, but for him to have the 42 points against Jokic in Serbia, and then what he did in the gold medal game. And let me tell you something, these games are not, oh, I ain't watching the NBA, dude. They're lazy. They don't do nothing. Da, da, da. Dude, these were fundamentally sound basketball games with the greatest in the world and everything on the line. And if you come home, you may not come home. You think Durant wants to come home with a silver medal? LeBron, kudos to LeBron. What he did as the leader, offense and defense, at 40 years old, is simply amazing. I'm an MJ psycho, but he could not do that. Period. And I'm on the LeBron train from here on out.
Wow, that's some breaking news right there.
It is, dude.
But that's something I didn't really ever expect to hear you say.
No, but it was simply unbelievable how he kept the team together. And he is a fighter, and he plays as hard as anybody ever has in the NBA. I will give him that night in and night out. But Steph Curry, the shots. Did you all see the free throw? Did y'all see the three-pointer?
Oh, of course.
Dude, Tuna, get on your YouTube. He hits four in a row and literally wins this game by himself with Durant and LeBron standing at the top of the key waiting for the ball. He's like, nope, I'm shooting it.
And you really should try to seek out the highlight package that I think USA Basketball put out on Twitter with the French announce team, because they start, after he hits the first one, they start referring to Stephen Curry as the devil. And they're like, we can't leave the devil open. We can't leave the devil open.
Right.
And it's subtitle, of course. And when he hits the fourth one,
that had three guys in his face going out of bounds, 60 feet in the air, and it goes in or whatever. And, you know, they have been all this week on not social media, but on every sports show. It's like, is it one of the greatest shots of all time with everything on the line? And it is.
I'd put it up there.
But I don't put it as a shot. It's considered, in which I love to put it this way because it is 2024, you put shot with a parentheses and an S after it. So it is shots, but it is the shot that is bigger than Leitner. It's bigger than, I mean, you can go around the room. Jordan had two huge shots against Cleveland. He had a huge shot against Utah to win it all. But you can put that shot that he hit, or any four of them, and I like to call it the shots, as the greatest thing that's maybe the greatest shot in basketball history.
That's
quite arguably.
I'm glad that you...
it's being argued, believe me, by everyone.
I'm glad that you made that differentiation to call it the shots, because yes, everyone, especially down here in the downstairs pub, should know what the shot
right
is.
Right.
And the result of that shot is currently right over Tuna's left shoulder on top of the wall. If you turn all the way around, Tuna. Nope, you're not looking far enough. It's now look up to the left of the windowsill.
Right there.
All the way at the top. All the way at
Keith
the top.
Keith Smart.
Yes.
116.
It's Keith Smart hitting the shot.
I was about to say, my body doesn't bend like that.
Yeah.
Well, you can't break dance.
No. I think I'd be better at pole vaulting.
But kudos to all the people, DePlantis, the pole vaulter, Faulkner, cycling, Cole Hawker, all the stuff he did. Anyways, that's it for me. I had to end it with Steph Curry. And fittingly, that's who I think was my MVP.
Tuna, you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, I guess the real American hero here is Noah Lyles for competing with COVID and
I know,
being able to have the energy to go out to the club right after losing. That was
He got the bronze.
Yeah, well, that's it was COVID's fault, but he beat COVID by going to the nightclub.
That's right. Did he have a mask on?
And also to the Iranian power lifter for having the most body hair I've ever seen on a human being. that was honestly impressive. I thought he was part Neanderthal at some point, but he was just a true Iranian soldier. So good for him. I think he came in like eighth or whatever, but man, he looked good doing it.
Was his name the Dirty Dutchman?
No, he was Iranian.
Okay, was he hairier than Dutch Mantell?
Yeah, he was the hairiest person I've ever seen.
Okay.
So that was, I think he was borderline, I don't know. I think he's sharing DNA with some animals, I think, somewhere. But he was fun to watch, and his facial reactions were also great. So other than that, I guess the turkey shooter from Turkey A now. It's not Turkey. Countries are just changing their names whenever they feel like it. So yes. Turkey A, but he was, obviously we already talked about him. That was probably one of my favorite stories, just because he asked his wife for the cat back after after
that's
shooting.
All he wanted.
Yeah, he just wanted his cat back. Yeah, like,
his cat.
Yeah. So, and that's all I got.
Jody?
Mine's Katie Ledecky, but not swimming. In the spirit of the Olympics, what I thought was cool, she went out the final day of women's golf. Never been to a golf event in her life, to cheer on her friend who was in first place going into the fourth round and ended up 18th.
Oh.
The girl from Switzerland. I guess they spent a year or two in college together, but she came out to support her. So it was cool to see an Olympian support another Olympian from another country, if that makes sense.
Right.
Well, yeah, and that was one thing we talked about at the end of the pole vault, the men's pole vault, when everybody came out and was watching that. But just to put a bow on it, I love the Olympics. I was depressed when they ended. The only part of the closing ceremonies I saw was when they extinguished the Olympic flame, and got me a little choked up because I'm reminded it's every 4 years and how much I enjoy it. And I can't wait for LA in 28. I can't wait for, I believe it's
Milan.
Rome.
Milan.
It's Milan in 26 for the Winter Games.
I love the clothing in Milan.
And the bobsledders are going to look really sharp.
But, the Olympics were great. NBC did a bang up job in presenting them, and I'm sure in
Snoop
in 4 years there'll be even more advancements on the way that we can watch and everything like that. I can't wait.
Well, on the plus side, Travis, I know it's sad that all those sports are over with, but football is right on the brink.
It is. And
so that's something to be excited
honestly,
for.
Tuna, and I think you had brought this up before the Olympics. You were like, well, man, it's a nice 2 week like to get us through. And I actually thought that same thing. I thought, man, what would we have done if there wasn't the Olympics?
And what about the two soccer tournaments? On top of that.
Yeah, the soccer tournaments, everything.
God.
Yeah. That really did make summer better, I feel like.
Yeah, my wife's like, you didn't get nothing done during those two soccer tournaments, during those that whole month.
Just
nothing.
Wait till she sees how lazy you become during football season.
Well, my wife does watch Bama and knows them in and out as much as anyone else does, so she likes college football, I must say.
And speaking of college football, last week we went through the Big Ten and the SEC. This week we promised to go through the Big 12 and the ACC. So we will do so now. We're going to follow the same scenario that we had last week relative to how we think the teams are going to finish. We just go around the room, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, et cetera.
And say a little something if you want to.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, yes, of course. When we make our picks, we'll go through and talk a little bit about that particular team. But I thought we'd start with the ACC since we are here in Louisville and Tuna is a diehard Louisville fan. I am a Louisville fan as well, as long as they're not playing Indiana. And
you don't have to worry about that, thanks to Indiana.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I thought we'd go ahead and start with the ACC, and since Tuna is our diehard ACC guy, we're going to start with him. Who do you have winning the Atlantic Coast Conference this
year,
Tuna?
Let's just talk about this conference for a second.
Yeah, please.
I think when you drop back and you look at this conference, you can immediately say that there is not one team in here that's actually going to compete for a national championship. I just don't see it with this group. But I will say it is probably – this year I feel like is probably the best group of teams. I feel like there's like 6 to 7 really good football teams in here.
Right.
But they're not at that competing for a championship level. And I think for that, it's going to make it wide open on who can win this conference. And the reality is this conference is going to get one bid, one of the 12. There's not a scenario, I don't believe, where two teams get voted in from the ACC in the top 12.
Never know, but
it's possible, but
I
just
look at the Big Ten and I see – you know, that we leave 8th with Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And I look down at the ACC and I see some teams that I have 8th here, like, or whoever are close to 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, Georgia Tech. Look, I'm telling you, that this conference has nothing to be ashamed of.
No, there's really good teams in here. I just don't feel like there's tiers in college football. And I don't think that the ACC has a team that is in that top tier.
I hear you.
I think if you're going to look at these, and I'm going to say roster-wise, Miami has the best roster in this conference. Unfortunately, they probably have one of the worst coaches in this conference.
Right. Well, and everyone acts like he's been improving.
Well,
I mean, unless they just want to hang that where he didn't take the snap.
Coaching single-handedly lost 3 games for them last
year. Well, one for sure.
Yeah.
Just boneheaded. Something that's bizarre.
Against Georgia Tech.
Never happened before, ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I'm with you. Miami does have the roster as far as starters back.
Mm-hmm.
How many games did they win last year?
Miami won, 7?
Okay.
They didn't win that
okay,
much.
Okay, they didn't. You sure?
No, but they got Tyler Van Dyke just really crapped his pants.
Okay.
But that's one of the big acquisitions they got is they got Cam Ward from Washington State. the quarterback out of Washington State. He was electric for Washington State. He willed Washington State to, what, a 9-win season? And, Reuben Baines may be, one of the best linebackers, linemen, edge guys in all of college football. I don't know, man. They spent money. You can see it, and it's there. And I've seen Miami so many times with this, I just can't move forward with them and pick them to win this conference, even though they should win this conference.
I can't either.
They were 7-6 last year.
Yeah.
7-6.
So, and there's no excuse for that. When you look at how bad the ACC kind of was last year, there's no excuse for that.
Well, look where they play.
Yeah. So, you say who's going to win this conference. If I'm looking at it, I'm going to go with NC State. You guys know that I've always been a huge Dave Doran fan.
As we all are.
Yeah. He's a great coach. You know their defense is going to be solid. And they have a quarterback this year, which everyone knows, Grayson McCall.
Yes.
Transferred in from Coastal Carolina.
Yes.
He's a gamer, man. He's one of those guys that's just going to be in the game and you can't get him out. And he's undersized, underarmed, doesn't hit all the notches. But, man, there's nobody – I'd love to have him on our side on Saturdays.
He kind of reminds me, who was the quarterback – this is probably going back, 8 or 9 years from South Carolina. That was so tough.
Okay, see, I was thinking Matt Grothy from South Florida way back in the day.
He
the kid with the mohawk.
He reminds me of the guy with the little mustache like you.
Who? The pitcher from Tennessee?
Well, that played last year in the NFL and started all those games.
Gardner Minshew?
Yes, that's who he reminds me of when he played college.
Yeah, I could see that. But, yeah, I'm going to starting at the top, I'm going to take NC State. And after that, I'm not high on Clemson. I'm not high on Florida State. Virginia Tech, everybody is a big Kyron Drones fan. They've got, I think, 98% of their offense back. A lot of their defense is back, but. And, they were feisty toward the end of the season.
Virginia Tech?
Yes.
Only won their last 5 out of 7.
Exactly.
They got hot.
Bashel Tootin is back, stud wide receiver. I've got to see it from Virginia Tech before I can put it up there. But I'm going to say that ACC championship game is going to come down to Miami and NC State.
Okay.
So, an NC State's going to win that and get the bid from that conference. So,
Freddie, who do you have finishing first?
Well, I have little old Clemson.
Okay.
And I just, look, I've seen it many times. Say what you want to say about Dabo not getting not getting into the portal, doing this, that, and the other. When you go to Death Valley, number two, you are possibly going to lose that game, okay? I think that's a big advantage for Clemson is where they play. I have looked at their schedule. It's a little tougher. I think their defense is strong. I think their quarterback had a sophomore slump. He still went to a bowl game and won it. Against a good Kentucky team that had just beaten a good U of L team. And Clemson took care of business. I think that Clemson is the pick that no one wants to make just because normally they're always at the top, but I am still continuing to make it because they haven't lost anybody. They need some help at wide receiver. But the way they recruit, I'm sure there's going to be two guys step up there. Same as the with the DBs. So, but we know their defensive line, their linebackers are legit.
I do like Phil Maffa. Like, Will Shipley's gone.
Yeah.
Phil Maffa, he proved that he can run. In that bowl game, he ran really well. That you guys know that because Kentucky fans.
Right, I'm like you. I think Florida State is down. They have like 6 Bama transfers. I know who every one of them are. Some are good. Some are weak. I wish them nothing but the worst. And Florida State, their quarterback, we saw their quarterback playing against their third stringer, who's going to be their starter. I know that Norvell's a great coach.
No, DJ Uiagalelei.
No, not. Oh yeah, DJ came in. That's right.
DJ came in. He's
yeah. Well, they have a quarterback that's failed at two other universities.
Whoa! He didn't fail at Oregon State.
You know
that offense was designed. I thought he played really well last year. The difference is that the type of offense that Florida State runs is completely different than what he ran out at Oregon State.
Okay, I'll give you that.
He was good last year.
He's a mediocre quarterback. Let's be real.
I agree with that. He has to have a system.
He was lower than mediocre at Clemson, and then he went to Oregon State. And another thing about him, like, dude, pick a team. Pick a team.
Everybody in college football now.
Good God, I'm not pulling for him at all either. So I'm not pulling for Florida State. They whined like I've never seen last year. So Florida State, I have them finishing fourth.
Wait. I was just going to say, I just couldn't, is there anything more ironic than Freddie telling somebody to pick a team and stick with them?
Buddy, what do you mean?
I ain't touching this one because this could be a 4-hour conversation.
I don't understand how do you figure that? I mean, I've pulled for one team for 31 years, and it's documented 31 years. I have the pictures to show you. I think you've all seen them, matter of fact. I mean, do I still have to go through this?
No.
My first Iron Bowl was just an observation. Was in 1994.
Just an observation.
Like, come on, dude.
And for those
that's stale.
For those that know us, you can send in on social media. You can send in your own thoughts on that. Anyway, please continue.
Yeah, but anyways, I got Clemson. You got NC State. I have NC State third. I mean, I have NC State second, actually, mm-hmm. after Clemson.
And I do, too.
So, get to Jody.
I'm going to go with NC State, and since we're right there, I know Travis is next on the first team. I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm kind of doing it for shits and giggles, but at the same time, I want to see what they have. I'm putting Louisville at two.
Hmm. Whoa.
I'll gladly take it.
The conference. You have to put Louisville in the top four.
Top four, I agree. It's the question mark at a quarterback position that scares the hell out of me. So, Louisville, I don't know.
Is that Tyler Shuck?
Tyler Shuck.
I have U of L at number four.
Yeah, I think four is a good spot. Jumping over them, here's the difference I think that separates us from three and four. Is I think SMU is going to finish probably third in this conference.
Do you really?
I really do. And the reason is they're going to beat us because the schedule lines up where they play us right after the week after Notre Dame. So we're going to go up. We're going to give Notre Dame hell. If we beat Notre Dame again, we all know that Brohm gets the big win and then the big loss right afterwards. And this is a damn good SMU team. I can't stress that. They've got two quarterbacks that could start at most teams in the ACC.
Yeah, their offense is definitely potent.
Yeah.
Defense, not so much.
Preston Stone or Rhett Lashley, I mean, either one of them could go. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they both play throughout the season and get it done. Like, I'm high on this SMU team. But, yeah, I'm going with NC State, Miami, SMU, and then Louisville fourth.
Is Rhett Lashley, is that the quarterback?
Yeah, him and Preston Stone, they're both fighting for the starting job.
I saw the name Rhett Lashley today, and I thought, Jesus, that is the perfect SMU. That's the perfect name.
Yeah.
If you were making a movie about SMU football, the quarterback's name would be Rhett Lashley.
See, I feel like he would have the edge just over that because Preston Stone doesn't sound like an SMU quarterback
right,
at all.
Right.
But I think Preston Stone's kind of winning that competition right now. So you never really know. They're keeping that a secret.
Preston Stone should go to Clemson.
Yeah,
that's where he belongs.
It is. He could hang out next to Howard's Rock and see who has the bigger stones.
So we had two for Clemson, two for
NC State.
NC State. How do we break this tie?
We normally flipped a coin.
Flip a coin. I can't vote for
Tuna
orange.
Should do it.
I don't have a coin.
I got
one. Mr. Electricity is going to flip a coin. Heads is Clemson. Tails is NC State.
And that is...
an $1,800 quarter.
Tails, Clemson it is.
Clemson.
You Dabo-loving skanks. All right.
Clemson number one, NC State number two, I think,
for
is,
sure.
Is,
okay, we'll take that.
Is accepted. Number three, we'll start somebody different here. We'll start with Jody.
SMU.
He's got SMU at number three.
Well, if Clemson has to be up there like that, then I have to put Miami at number three.
Yeah, you have to stick with Miami because you had them so high up.
Yeah.
Right. I have Florida State. Hmm.
See, I don't think Florida State's going to finish in the top half of this league.
I know, and you said that on the
I think they are.
On the text thread the
other day. I'm looking at the league, and I'm like –
I tell you,
Syracuse, Cal, Pitt, Duke. I mean, they're going to finish in the top half.
I think Georgia Tech is going to smack them.
Okay, I agree with you. I mean, we're putting money on that game.
So
I'm with you.
That spread's already dropped, by the way, so you need to jump on that. The only thing that scares me is that it's building up so much steam as the bet of the weekend already. Everybody's jumping on Georgia Tech, and that's starting to scare me because I've already jumped on them at 13.
I know.
And the money line, so I may
so
be way wrong
there. So you all beat
there.
Me out on that, so I had Florida State third. You have Miami way up, so you got them.
I had Florida State third.
And
I picked he had SMU because I had Louisville second, but if we got Clemson at one, that means they probably beat Clemson, probably beat Louisville at Clemson, and it's going to drop them back down.
Right.
So is it – Florida State, then, with two votes?
I guess that's what happened to me when we bet SEC. I didn't like who y'all took, but I went with it when you outvoted me.
All right, so we have Florida State at number three. Number four, I have U of L, as I said earlier. Tuna?
I guess I got to go Miami.
I have Miami.
I have to keep putting
Miami
until.
I have Miami there.
Yeah. So screw everybody up. I'm going to Louisville.
Coin flip. We'll do heads. Heads is Louisville. Tails is Miami.
Tails.
Miami.
The Hurricanes. That means the Hurricanes are winning Howard Schnellenberger's Golden Boots this year, which is the coolest damn trophy in football. Have you guys seen that trophy?
I haven't.
Last year was the first year we played for it when we went down to Miami because we're going to play Miami every year while the ACC exists. And they decided to make a trophy for this rivalry that's starting up. And it's a pair of Howard Schnellenberger's cowboy boots that are bronzed.
Oh, man.
And yeah,
how cool is
so
that?
So we've got it. I don't want to lose that trophy.
No.
So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we're on. We have Clemson 1, NC State 2, Florida
FSU.
State 3. Miami 4.
Yep, and U of L 5.
U of L 5.
So that brings us to number 6. Freddie.
SMU.
Well, I guess I'm going to go Louisville.
Oh,
here.
Man, those are awesome.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, we already have Louisville in.
Louisville's in.
Oh,
Louisville's
shit.
In.
I thought Miami bumped them out.
That put Louisville to 5
because they both took Louisville.
Okay.
So now we've got number 6 between I would say Virginia Tech, SMU, Carolina, Cal, Duke, Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Georgia Tech here just because I got a man
crush.
I thought you said
SMU was great.
I thought I already had SMU that much. So I guess I got to go SMU because they've worked their way all the way
down.
So yeah. Cuz I had them at 3.
Right.
So, yeah.
I have SMU.
I think SMU is is our safe bet there.
Right. Okay, then we go to 7.
And that's where I'm going to go, Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Brett Key has got it going on.
I got
there.
Georgia Tech as well.
I had North Carolina.
Okay.
I had North Carolina. I know they have a lot.
They got a great running back.
Omarion Hampton.
Oh, man, he's a stud.
Yep. And I would be, honestly, I mean, I would be lying if I said I knew a lot about these teams.
No,
were getting
but,
to this
but
level.
Just glancing and looking
but,
at.
But as I yeah. looked, and I did read three or four different articles from different places about where people expected teams to finish up in the ACC. And I thought that North Carolina probably deserved to be there. Although I was probably not as high on Southern Methodist. But I think what you said about the possible two-headed monster quarterback, and I did hear that the offense there might be one of the best in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question there is defensively what they're going to bring this season. But
physicality stepping up. I know it's the ACC, so it's not like they're going into anything crazy, but it is a little bit more than the AAC when you're talking about physicality.
Yeah, of course.
So and you've seen Louisville when they first made the jump, like the struggles that they dealt with early on.
And I just think it's cool when SMU is good.
It is.
It's just cool. It really is. I love their jerseys.
They have some of the best uniforms in college football.
I love their stadium. Like, it's, you know, I love the history. You know, when they were the outlaw outfit back in the 80s. I just think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, again, we've got.
I just want to say something about Georgia Tech real quick.
Okay.
Have you looked at their schedule, Tuna?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that their schedule
it's pretty tough.
11 bowl teams.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
11 bowl teams.
Mm-hmm.
Are
they going to shock the world and beat Georgia this year?
Three byes. They have three byes and 11 bowl teams. I'm still like them over Virginia Tech, so I'm on Georgia Tech on this one.
So we have SMU at 6, correct?
Yes.
And then 7.
You have Carolina. We have Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Jody?
Georgia Tech, and this is kind of the end of the ACC on me because – being in our region, hearing about U of O all the time, you hear about Clemson. We've heard about Florida State. People talk about, but you hear a lot of chatter, and it goes back to SMU and Georgia Tech. That's the most chatter I've heard from any other ACC teams out there consistently in the last few weeks. So that's why I'm picking Georgia Tech there.
All right, so that takes us to number 8.
Well, you got to put Virginia Tech in at that spot. After that, there's a big drop off from those top 8. It just the league completely separates.
Well, I'd say Virginia Tech and maybe North Carolina.
I had Virginia Tech at number 6, by the way.
Yeah, so I have Virginia Tech too. So,
like I said, they're returning everything.
Oh yeah,
their
dude, they should be improved. Their last 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
So we're putting Georgia Tech 8, and then
we're putting Virginia Tech 8. We had Georgia Tech 7.
And then North Carolina, 9th. Do we agree on that after that?
That's the next.
Yeah.
I had them at number 8 myself. Yeah. So.
I mean, I got North Carolina next, and then I think it drops down.
Yeah, we don't need to get into Duke and Pitt and,
well,
and Boston College.
We'll just put them in
and,
there, but
I had Cal and Duke.
Pitt, Duke, and Virginia, Wake and Virginia, and Stanford. At the end.
I have Stanford at the very bottom.
I have Virginia and Stanford at the very end.
I have Wake Forest at the very bottom because, honestly, fuck Wake Forest.
I thought you said Lake
Forest.
You
should like Pitt either.
Same thing.
Pitt's cost y'all everything last year.
Yeah, well, we lost that game. So the problem is that field at Heinz Field. I mean, it's a disaster.
So let's go down the list, Travis, so we have them, because we did it on the other two.
Okay.
So we'll just go Cal, Syracuse, Pitt, Duke, Wake Forest, Virginia, and Stanford.
I think that's probably good.
All right.
So again, I'll just go through the top 11 here. We have Clemson at number one, NC State at number two, FSU at number three, Miami at four, U of L at five, SMU at six, Georgia Tech at seven, Virginia Tech at eight, and then some sort of order between North Carolina, Cal, and Duke at 9, 10, and 11. And then after that, you can, you know, make your own picks. But now, on to the Big 12, which I don't know. I'm obviously, I'm excited about every college football league this year, but I may be more intrigued with the top of the Big 12 than almost any other league because I think it can go a thousand different ways.
I love this league.
And I'm really totally excited to hear what you guys think about it because when I was looking at it today, and I was like, man, I think there's five teams that I can see winning.
Oh, yeah.
Winning this league. And I'd be interested to see if it's the same five that I think, that you guys think.
We also know that Fox is going to amp these games up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep,
because we have now, I think we it's a given that everyone on here is now a big fan of Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And all that they bring to the table.
Fox Sports.
Fox Sports, same
Let's
time as
clear.
Game Day.
I'm a big like, fan of Fox Sports.
Dude, I put their game day on at noon or in the morning.
I'll be honest with you. I like it better than College Game Day on ESPN now. I think Brady Quinn and Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, like all those guys, they do such a great job, man.
They're fantastic.
Mark Ingram's on there.
Yeah.
They even made
Urban Meyer.
I was gonna say that show even made me not that I
it's
like him
different.
Or dislike him or whatever, but I think Urban Meyer is great on that show.
He is.
When he does his little film breakdowns and stuff, you always feel like you learn something.
From watching. But
him.
Boys, sorry. There's someone that's gonna be on game day this time, and I just gotta go back that direction.
Who?
The GOAT.
Never heard of him.
Okay. Well.
Well, Lee Corso has at least one more year.
Hate all you want, but I can assure you, he is going to boost that show up.
I thought Tom Brady was doing NFL this year.
Do you not think he's going to make that show better?
I'm going to say this. Every time I see Nick Saban talking on TV, I truly do stop whatever I'm doing and I listen to him because he just has a way of pulling you in and it's almost like you're getting lectured by a professor and it's really cool to watch. And he has a way of explaining things that it's like football for dummies and you know
and
what
he
I
has
mean?
A dry sense of humor and he's played all these, yes he does.
He has no sense of humor.
And he has played against half of these schools and if you don't think he's done his homework.
He's played against every one of these schools.
Guess again. He's done his homework.
I'm actually very excited for him to be on TV because I think he's going to be great.
You know what I wish he would do?
He was just on Hard Knocks.
Yes. Yes,
where
he
was sitting down. The first episode of Hard Knocks, he was sitting down who was it? Matt Eberflus.
Yep.
Who played for him at Central Michigan? Bowling Green. Bowling Green.
Yes.
Played for him at Bowling. He was a linebacker for Saban when Saban was coaching Bowling Green. And that was really cool just to watch their interaction.
You know what I wish he would do is be on the after show when they're breaking down the games. That would be cool too. Remember, like,
that's way past his bedtime.
I hope they have coach back from Carolina. Is he still coaching the defense at North Carolina or our boy from Auburn? Coach Chiz. Hope Chiz is back.
He does the ACC network.
What?
Yeah, he's always on breaking down stuff for the ACC
network.
Oh, so
he got back to that after he left. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should know that, being a big ACC guy.
No, sorry.
Big 12. As we said, this is a wide open, as you can imagine.
We're going to disagree a lot here.
I know it, man. And these are some of my favorite coaches.
Yep, and this is I can't wait to try to break this down. Tuna, we'll start with you. Who's going to win this league?
All right, number one, Utah Utes. I'm doing it. I'm going with them. Love them. Kyle Whittingham. I mean, what? He's been there longer than any coach in football besides Kirk Ferentz.
He's a great coach. He's been there as long as the quarterback has.
Yeah.
And what's his name, Tuna, with the long hair?
Cam Rising.
Cam Rising.
Cam's rising out of the dirt this year to
finally
play again.
Coming off an injury. Coming off a bad injury. If everybody remembers what he did 2 years ago, you know that he's damn good.
Yes. He's another one of those scrappy gamer-type guys.
Now, who else they got?
No, they're loaded up. They have a great tight end. No, they do. They have a great tight end. Hold on here. Let me get – I've got a list here. He's like the top tight end prospect out there. Anyway –
I read about him earlier today.
Yeah, but you know Kyle Whittingham's going to have a solid team. They've got a pretty good secondary. I like them going forward, and I guess – what you got, Fred? Who you got winning this?
Kansas State.
Okay.
I have Utah second. And Kansas State, I'll tell you why. Because they really impressed me last year. With that quarterback
in the bowl game.
Oh my God. That bowl game really did that. They have such a versatile offense. I mean, this guy, I'm looking up his name because I can't even remember what it was. Tuna, do you remember what his name was? I mean, he can run, he can throw. This kid, I mean, has it all.
Great hair.
They also have a great safety. They have a great corner, VJ Payne.
Avery Johnson.
Is Avery Johnson. And I'm just telling you, man, they've got a good running back. Their defense is there. Jordan Riley, that transfer.
Let's not forget that they won probably the most prestigious bowl of all of them last year, the Pop-Tart Bowl.
They did.
He was the first player to eat the Pop-Tart. So that says a lot. I feel like that's fuel going into the following season.
If you remember us watching that game, mm-hmm. there was more people in our group enthralled and really involved in that game than probably any other game that we watched during the bowl season.
Absolutely. And what team did they beat in that? That was NC State.
Yeah. That's what was impressive to me. Yep. That's what was so impressive. I mean, I'm telling you, these guys, I really feel like that they are on the upswing. Don't they have a new defensive coordinator? I wasn't sure. Clanderhan or whatever. But, man, anyways, guys, on to you all. I like K-State.
I was hoping he'd go with Oklahoma State because I'm saying K-State, then Travis would have to pick, but I'm saying Kansas State.
Kansas State also has that running back transfer from Colorado, Dylan Edwards.
Oh, okay. Little jittery bug.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and we know Kansas State does well with jittery bug running backs.
No doubt.
If there's ever a team that puts out undersized. Who's the kid that's with the Cowboys right now?
Sproles, and who is that kid?
Anyway.
Well, I had him.
Dude, that's why I got to refresh my fantasy, man. Like, I can't even think of my running back from Dallas that I had last year that catches all the balls and runs. Lil J's going, damn it, Freddie, right now.
Yeah. Deuce Vaughn.
I had Utah at number one. So we've got two votes for Utah. We have two votes for K-State.
Oh, okay. I'll do the flip. Heads.
No. We're going to do heads is K-State, tails is Utah.
All right. Tails. Tails it is.
Utah.
Johnny Utah. Tuna is happy. So we got K-State 2.
That makes K-State number 2.
Well, I'm going to actually go different here, and I'm going to put Kansas at number 2.
Okay.
Over Kansas State.
Okay, I hear you, Mad Hatter.
Okay.
I'm going K-State, obviously. I mean, yeah, if Utah's won, so I'm going K-State.
If we can get Jalen Daniels to stay healthy and what Lance Leopold does.
Wait a minute. So K-State already is 2 because – 2 people voted for him.
Okay. Does that Remember, how that
that's
works?
How, yeah, yeah, we that's did that. We did that last time. So we're
I'll
we're
learn
going,
the rules eventually.
So we're going for the third team.
So you're putting Kansas clearly at number 3.
Yeah.
Kansas with the Mad Hatter. Kansas is doing great things. I'm a man. I'm 40. I have Oklahoma State with the great running back.
I also have Oklahoma State.
Arizona.
Okay. Arizona.
Arizona comes into play.
I tell you what, that Tatoria McMillan is going to have to throw the ball to himself this year. I mean, he's one of the best in football, but he I don't know, man. I see a lot of holes with Arizona, but
that was not a team I had in my top 5.
Yeah.
No, I do not either.
They could be though. I mean,
so who was you're breaking the tie, Travis? Who you got? We both got. We have 2.
I had Oklahoma State.
Oh, okay.
So that puts Oklahoma State at 3. And then we're between Kansas and Arizona.
Kansas and whoever else someone takes.
Right.
You got.
I'm taking Kansas.
I have Kansas next. I had them 4th, so.
I do, too. Yeah. And so that puts them. So.
And then this is where we're going to get a little murky here. As at 5, I've got a sleeper team in this conference who I think probably could sneak up and win this thing at Central Florida.
Okay, Gus. You know, I hear you, Gus.
You know who's quarterbacking down there? He spent a lot of time in the SEC. Woo Pig Suey, KJ Jefferson.
That's right.
They've got 2 excellent running backs, R.J. Harvey and Penny Boone, who ran for 1,400 yards for Toledo, transferred to Louisville and got thrown off the team after about a month. So he is down at Central Florida. They have a 2-headed running back attack down there. So you add them with a quarterback that's mobile like Jefferson, that's
like
going to
that.
Be something
like
to game plan
I like that intel, Tuna.
And they are as I was doing some research earlier today, they are a lot of national media's like
darling
sleeper team to watch out for that could make some noise in this conference.
Well, I think I have the sleeper team that everyone's talking about.
Well, I'd love to hear what that is.
West
Freddie.
Virginia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have 8 starters back on offense and defense. They went 9-4 last year. They play at a tough ass venue,
and they were just and gritty last year.
They were that. I mean, everyone had them counted out.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Brown
coaching for his life,
and now he's got them rolling. I just like because they have starters back. So I have West Virginia 5th. I know Tuna has Central Florida.
Jody.
I'm going to stay with Kansas because I got UCLA.
We already got
6.
Kansas 4th. Mm-hmm. We got Kansas
I'm sorry,
4th.
Arizona.
Okay, okay.
Oh, yeah.
As you should.
I got UCF at 6.
And I had West Virginia. So that puts West Virginia in that slot.
Okay.
West Virginia, Jaheim White averaged 7.72 yards a carry last year. That's a high number.
Yeah.
That's a high number. So that would, to me, put number 6 then.
Well, the best quarterbacks play for West Virginia.
Between,
what's his name, Tuna? Pat.
Pat White.
Pat White.
UCF.
Major Harris.
His debut.
So Tuna
UCF
has.
UCF and Arizona would be.
Mm-hmm.
I have vote. My pick is I have a pick of a team that finished 5-3 last year. I bet the under on them a lot. They have a great defense. I like their coach a lot, and they are a team that pulls upsets. I like Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like that a lot. I can't get on board with Texas Tech. I can't get on board with TCU.
So you would have Iowa State ahead of UCF?
No, he's got Central UCF. Florida. Okay. I got Iowa State. Jody has Arizona, and Travis, the call's on you.
I have Iowa State.
Me and Travis called each other today.
I have Iowa State.
All right. What do you guys think about Colorado? Because nobody's mentioned
them. Well, we haven't gotten to them yet.
Well, but we've got the first eight.
Well, we got, yeah. I mean,
you want to go through the rest of these?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, just till we get, poor Jody had Arizona fourth and he ain't got them on the board yet.
We don't even have
KJ Jefferson on board yet.
If Arizona starts out 3-0, you will not hear it week to week. I'll be blowing up the thread.
Hey, I made my blockout predictions and then I have my predictions. So
are we putting Central Florida then at six?
No, yes. Iowa State is six. I think Central Florida is in a dogfight with Arizona to get seventh.
Well, as of right now, I have Utah number one, K-State number two, Oklahoma State number three, Kansas number four, West Virginia number five. Oh, and then Iowa State number six.
And then it's between – I have Central Florida next. Tuna has Central Florida. Jody has Arizona.
I have UCF.
Okay.
So that puts
I have Arizona next.
I do too.
Tuna does not.
I'm gonna switch it up and say I'm just kidding.
So we got Arizona.
I mean,
I'm gonna
have to put TCU in over them.
Oh, okay. Well, you lose because we all had Arizona. So now we can.
Ha ha. Now you know what it feels like.
So now.
Oh yeah, y'all had me all twisted on the SEC last week.
Now, tell me if there's another team that you would consider for 9, 10, and 11 between Colorado, TCU, and Texas Tech.
Yeah, because we got Baylor, Arizona State, Cincinnati, and Houston in this league, too.
Do you know who's coaching Houston?
I'm really curious about Houston because they've always had a fairly decent team.
Willie Fritz from Tulane.
Is he really?
First year at Houston.
Dude,
and that,
how are we
if
gonna,
he can
we
get
them
rolling.
Last.
No, right now you just can't with them this year. But going forward, if he can get that rolling, that is a hotbed for talent, man. And they got a hell of a alumni that's willing to donate to that school.
Right.
That Houston could be kind of a juggernaut sleeping right now.
Man, and here's the thing. I know Johnny Firestick is going to be fired up with us because here we got TCU. We haven't even talked about them yet. Dude, this Texas Tech team, can someone look up and see what they did last year? Did they not win their bowl game and had a good year?
I will admit, hold on.
Because I feel like we're missing something with them.
It's a complete roster makeover.
Is it really?
Yes.
With Texas Tech?
Yeah.
Because they had a good team last year.
The complete roster makeover.
Did their coach leave?
Taj Brooks is back. No, Joey McGuire's still there.
Okay.
Taj Brooks is still there. Other than that, man, everything's completely
so
rebuilt.
So we're putting TCU and Texas Tech and teams like Colorado as the bottom feeders of the
big.
Well,
Colorado's got 43 transfers in this year.
They do.
I don't even know how go about.
They still have Shadur Sanders as the quarterback.
What happened last year?
And they have the all-world
Travis Hunter.
Yeah. And we're going to count them out.
Well,
I think they've had an offseason that's just full of just chaos and bullshit.
I agree. I don't like anything about what's happening there. Deion's awful quiet.
I think we're on Deion Sanders fatigue right now.
Yeah.
I really, like last year, everybody was behind it and loved it. And then now we've gotten too much of it. And I think it's a little worn out.
And they're really, I think, going to struggle in the trenches this year. Offensive line wise, like, it's going to be a complete mishmash. Like,
especially since Travis Hunter called him out online.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah. How stupid was that?
Yeah, you're right.
They do a lot of stupid stuff.
Freddie, Texas Tech finished 7th last year at 7-6.
7-6, so they may have won their bowl game. That normally
But I would think that Colorado, TCU
might have the mighty have fallen. We got TCU
and
down
Tech
here.
Sonny Dykes deserves it.
They were 5-7 last year.
They're all right in that same area. And then after that, you've got whoever.
Baylor.
Yeah.
Now, Arizona State does have a really good quarterback this year. And who is it, Tuna? You know it. Don't look it up.
I don't know it.
It's the kid from Florida. Are the kid from Arizona?
Do you even know where he's from?
Yes, he was. Remember, he tried to get money from Florida. And they didn't give him enough money. He was a parade All American.
All I see is running back Cam Scatabo.
Okay,
I love Scatabo.
No, his name's.
Oh, I remember that story.
Yes,
when came
Jordan
out,
something or. You know the kid from Florida that asked for all the money, and then he said, no, never mind, I'm transferred.
Yeah.
He was a parade All-American first-team quarterback.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how that typically doesn't work very well.
It doesn't.
So I'm not going to get too excited about that. My big question is, who gets fired first, Scott Satterfield or Dave Aranda? Does either one of them make it to the end of the season?
Jaden Rashada is his name.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he left or if he stayed there, but Sam Leavitt is another really good quarterback. I'm just going to say Arizona State does have a good quarterback, but I don't know if they have any other weapons. And then you got...
He is currently with the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, the first guy you mentioned is not even on the roster.
So Rashada did leave and went there. Yeah,
it's
okay.
Between Sam Leavitt and Jeff Sims.
Okay.
So
we're going to go, what, TCU, Texas Tech, Colorado, Baylor, Arizona State, put Johnny Satterfield, I'd say we put Satterfield last, and we'll put our boy Houston ahead of him.
Well, answer my question.
What?
Do you think that Dave Aranda or Scott Satterfield makes it to the end of the season?
There's no way Satterfield does.
I think Dave Aranda's seeing his way.
Yeah, I think... He may make it to the end of the year because I don't think Baylor does business that way. But Sat's gone quick. Probably about week 6.
Right.
So that's about that.
So that pretty much sets up the power conferences. Now, I know the AP Top 25 came out, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But I wanted to ask you guys, because we are in the era of the 12-team expanded playoff, teams to look for from outside of the Power Four, as we call the Group of Five, teams that you think might make some noise, maybe even have a shot to make that 12-team playoff. Tuna? Who comes to mind?
I'm going with Tulane. I love Tulane. They're bringing in John Summerall from Troy, former head coach there. Malachi Hughes is back, the running back, 1,400 yards, veteran offensive line. Ty Thompson is going to be their quarterback. He was a five-star recruit out of high school, played for Oregon. He's transferring. He's going to play at Tulane now. And John Summerall is not a good coach. He's a great damn coach. So I really like Tulane to keep it rolling down there. And I like them to get that spot for the Group of Five into the 12-team playoff.
Mm.
So is that how it works now? Like, they're guaranteed one spot?
The highest ranked
in the
college football playoff poll
that
comes out. The highest ranked Group of Five team gets that.
Okay.
So, if you was to go right now, even though there's no college football play, let's just say we use the AP poll, I believe Liberty has the most votes. So they would get that nod if it was today.
Well, to hell with Liberty. So I'm right there with you. I hope Tulane – will Tulane play Liberty this year? Are they in the same league?
I believe
have no
so,
idea.
Yeah.
Well, Liberty's definitely on the list.
Fred?
I'm close because I love Liberty's quarterback. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love him. And they're a solid team. They were in the top 25 all last year, like James Madison
was. Caden Salter?
Yeah. But I got to tell you, man, after I did a little quick research on a team that I bet a lot last year, the quarterback, the offense, the running back, I love this team. I am going with Memphis.
Mm-hmm. That's a good pick. I like that Memphis team.
I really like that Memphis team, and that's even going over my Roadrunners, who you know I love. And this, we're probably roughly not going to get together on all these.
Unless, no.
But you can.
I'm sure everybody. I mean, these are just teams to look out for.
But you can pull up the four or whatever, and it'll give you a rundown on all the teams and what starters are back of the teams they have, like a top 15.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are high on Boise State this
Boise
year.
Boise State's up at the top. The Roadrunners of UT, Texas, San Antonio. Hey. You know I love these schools because I bet the under on a lot of them. How about Texas State? Mm-hmm. We love Texas State. We love the coach at Texas State.
CJ Kenny.
And that is who Johnny Fireball has told us is going to be. Maybe if Sark or someone leaves one of them big schools in Texas, he will be the guy. Troy. Did not win their bowl game. Remember, I had like $200 on that game, or $100.
Yeah, they lost their coach.
And they lost and lost their coach. But Troy is still a team that's going to be good up there. You have Tulane. App State.
Always love App State.
App State has a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. Fresno State. Now, they lost some guys. They lost a coach to Bama. Fresno State is up there, guys. Miami of Ohio is a team that has a lot of seniors.
You know, I love the MAC, but when it comes down to it during bowl season, the MAC just lets me down year in and year out, and it drives me nuts. So I can't put any MAC team in the playoffs.
I happen to think Miami of Ohio is going to be very good this year. They get their quarterback back.
Yeah,
was so good last year and got hurt at the end of the year.
Yeah, got
not
hurt.
Ben Roethlisberger.
That's right.
His name is Brett Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have another team in the MAC that is a little bit under the radar. I like Bowling Green.
Okay.
I like Bowling Green, and they've got a tremendous opportunity at the beginning of the season. They play Penn State and Texas A&M back-to-back. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't be shocked if Bowling Green splits those two games.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't be shocked if they don't split those two games.
You can say it over and over again, but I might still be shocked.
What if we take our top three? I'll pick three. You pick three. We'll write them down. You want to take our three that we like on here?
But in the
just
in,
yeah,
in the group
and
five?
Maybe just see what happens. Maybe have a little. This would be a cool little bet. Because
I got two teams you haven't even mentioned.
Well, there you go. That's why I think we should all pick three that we
love.
One
of them I'm biased on,
and
but
see if one
good.
Of them teams makes it, and they win the money. And none of us are taking chalk.
I'm not predicting that Bowling Green makes the
The
12-team playoff.
I mean,
but I am saying I think they're going to be a really fun team to watch.
They always are. They're a good football program.
And as I said last week,
I'm high on Texas State like you are on them.
I'm not sold on Texas A&M. So, one of the great validations from this podcast would be a Bowling Green beat Texas A&M.
Well, and Tuna did mention the team.
I think Reuben Owens may run for 400 yards on Bowling Green.
Well, he might. he actually probably will.
Tuna did mention a team in here, too, that might be the best of the bunch, and that is the team that plays on the blue field, Boise State. Mm. I bet against them in the bowl game, and they whooped my tail. And the coach was – and apparently they had been hot. They'd won a few games. They got their quarterback back. And guess who they play? They've got a battle early on with Oregon, which could really – show something, you know. Hey, what if Boise State were to knock off Oregon or play them tight? I'm not sure where that game is. Now, Boise State does not have much of a defense. They haven't had one. I don't know.
Gavin Lux home run.
I don't know about – that's my boy, Gavin Lux.
Yeah, buddy.
So, anyways, how about we pick our three? You want to do it, Jody? You write it on the board? Tuna, give me your three wild cards.
I'm going Tulane, Memphis, and App State.
Fred?
I'm going Tulane, Memphis. There's no way Texas State's going to make it. And I'm going to go Boise State.
And I'm going to say Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, and in honor of my wife's nephew, who just checked into Western Kentucky today, I'm just going to throw Western
the
Kentucky
toppers!
In there.
Yeah, let's go Tops.
I'm going to throw Western in there. Because
I love that.
I'm just going to... I have known nothing about their football team, but I'm going to anticipate that they're going to score like 40 points a game like they
always
do.
Well, you know who their first
game
is.
I did watch Austin Reed played in a preseason game the other day, and I forget for who.
You know who their first game is first?
It's against Alabama.
That's right.
If
that's right, down in T-Town,
baby. You guys
baby.
Coming up to Bowling Green for that?
Oh, of course they are.
Oh,
Jody,
yeah.
Who'd you get?
Well, I was going to say something. I think we should go to a WKU home game this year.
Oh.
Before the game starts.
So fun.
They have an old wrecked car in the common area across the street, painted the other team's colors, and they beat the piss out of this car the entire game. I left one game. All the doors were gone. The wheels were gone. The hood was gone. It was upside down. I just think it's – you know, comical every 10 minutes or so you go over the edge of the stadium and see
a little demolition
damage,
derby.
Yeah, it was done to the car. Honestly, I'm Tulane, Memphis, and UNLV.
There you go, UNLV. Another good one.
I wanted to throw Wyoming in there, but their coach retired at the end of last season last year. I think they're going to have a little bit of a drop off, but I hope they do well.
No Colorado State's picked.
No, and Wyoming was a team that we loved last year, remember?
We did.
God, man,
yep,
I bet on
did.
That team a lot. I can't wait. I can't wait to bet the under. I can't wait to bet the under. I mean, it just hit me. It just dawned on me looking at these small schools. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. It'll be fun to see if someone... I like how we didn't spend much time on the bottom feeders today, but
yeah, Fred, I made sure that we made that decision early that we weren't going to dwell on the bottom.
But what's going to be funny is looking back is we're going to look at some of these bottom feeders and see if anyone just does some crazy turnaround. Somebody's going to do it.
Of course they will.
In some of these conferences, some coach is going to dig deep and get his team to end up going 6-6 and winning their bowl game.
Well, in this era of being able to, you know, restock your team with all these transfers, I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's an NFL type of model with some of these teams. Where you just bring in a whole new crop of guys.
Well, speaking of that, weren't we going to talk about maybe for the next couple minutes?
Why recruit freshmen when you can get a transfer?
There's,
you know what I mean?
No question. Because
if you recruit a kid out of high school, you have to like recruit him every year he's there. You recruit an upperclassman, you just deal with it and he's gone. And he's ready to go
right
away.
Everything's changed this season. It's going to be wild. Travis, you want to talk about the AP or the top 25 real quick? Just say if we got anything that pops out at us.
I do. Quickly, the AP top 25 dropped this week. A couple
what
of
Fred
I think,
meant to say is that bring it up because I have a lot of shit to say.
Well,
about
I don't
it.
Really I have a lot.
I don't think there's any doubt. We
I don't really
about
have
it.
A lot.
Well, you may not have a lot quantity wise, but I think there's one thing that has you ready to be set off. Here.
Oh,
there was
oh,
a lot on
okay.
the text thread the other day. I know that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I don't want to get in that debate.
We're Let's not just... getting in a debate about it. No, and Tuna's right. It's really not a debate after we kind of started talking about it, you know?
Let's so, let our host and moderator finish up.
Yes, let's just go through quickly the AP top 25. Not a lot of surprises, I don't think, at the in the top 10.
No, I thought they did a great job, actually.
Maybe one that I look at and go, eh. But Tuna, was there anything that really jumped out at you when you saw the first AP top 25 poll?
Yeah, come on, writers. Let's maybe not focus on the Power Four and put some of these other teams that deservingly need to be in there. Some of the teams that we just got done talking about. This is the first time I can remember a poll where it's made up strictly of four conferences.
And it's
I don't
that
like
way
it.
On purpose.
I don't
clearly.
Like it one bit. It's yep. all you can tell the people that are writing for it are the same people that are getting paid by these networks. So I don't like it. It is what it is. The good thing is that it doesn't mean shit right now.
That's right.
And in a couple weeks, it's going to look completely different. So is what it is. I don't like Iowa being down at 25, but I don't know who you're going to bump out to put them up. I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
I think Florida State's a little high.
That's the biggest issue probably. Yeah.
I think Clemson's right where they should be. I think Tennessee's a little low.
How do you guys feel about Notre Dame being in the top 10 again?
Oh, I think Notre Dame is going to be fantastic this year.
Is that sarcasm?
No, I think they're going to be
I really
good.
Do, too.
I think they're going to yeah. be great, really good.
I mean,
good.
They have probably one of my favorite quarterbacks
I mean,
in football.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I might pick Notre Dame to win the whole damn thing.
They're definitely going to be in
that playoff.
Next
week when we do our 12-team playoff.
Awesome.
I'm not kidding. I mean, they have a lot of people back. They got all the coaches in order. They've been trending up. We've now determined that the coach is legit. Hey, here's a crazy thing about Notre Dame. So they don't get that bye that everybody else does in the playoff, in the 12-team playoff. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
But guess what? They get the bye when every conference is playing their championship game.
Yep.
And that may knock somebody out. And guess what? Notre Dame's sitting there watching TV all night. So they don't have the bye in the tournament, in the 12-team playoff, but they have the bye before, and that may be more important.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you this about Notre Dame. Like, I know you think Duke was a joke last year, but Riley Leonard, you have to admit, that kid was damn good when he was on the field. And for him to take over at Notre Dame, I think it's just a wonderful fit, and I am going to load up on him to win the Heisman. I mean, getting votes just from being at Notre Dame and being a quarterback like him, it's
and then that just when you say that, it makes me think of Ron Paulus and Beano Cook. Ron Paulus will win the Heisman
twice. He said he'd win it twice.
He goes, he's gonna win it twice. He picked the Notre Dame quarterback, Beano Cook. Rest in peace, there, Beano. He's one of the original sports reporters back in the day. We know Oregon has a great team. Dude, I really think Georgia has some shit written on their chalkboard that's like, we're going to try to totally explode on every team.
Well, they're ranked number one.
I know.
Like, how can you put that up in the locker room?
They're ranked number one, but they didn't get nothing out of it.
Look,
last
Georgia
year.
Georgia just needs to worry about not speed racing in the middle of the night on campus.
Okay, well,
that's their main focus.
I hear you, and that happens. When you win championships, players get in trouble.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Oh, hell.
It happens to
Louisville
everybody.
Louisville gets in trouble all the time. We ain't won shit.
It happens to – but I'm just saying Georgia is – I mean, they have superior motivation.
I think the thing that's going to make me the most upset about these polls is all these teams that are in the same conferences with each other and they're beating each other up, and you're going to have – 4-5-loss teams ranked over 1-loss FBS teams or group of five teams. That's really, like, you guys asked for this shit. Like, you guys are the ones, not you guys in this room, the big conferences. You guys asked for these, like, superpower conferences, and then you're going to whine when your team's got 5 losses and they're left out of the playoffs. You know what I mean? And you're going to sit there and say, hey, we deserve to be in there over, you know, 2-loss NC State or some shit. Well, you know what? You get what you ask for, guys. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
And then eventually, after that happens and some of these big teams get left out, we're going to see a football-only conference, and they're going to separate to become even more elite. And I just don't like the way it's going.
Bro, I hear you. I think Penn State's ranked way too high at 8th. Come on. Michigan's ranked too high. Florida State's ranked too high. Missouri, LSU. You know, I mean, Oklahoma won 10 games last year. Now they've got a hard schedule. But like you said, as you look at it, it is what it is. And look at it. Look at this. We got Jody's got redemption right here. As we look at it, we all had Arizona. What? 8 We have them 8th in our conference pick. Hell, they're ranked 21st in the AP poll. Mm-hmm. So Jody may have something there.
21st in the coaches poll, too.
Right, that we don't have. I mean, I know that they got a new coach and everything, and maybe I missed some of their weapons, but for them to be in the top 20 and we have them 8th in their conference, that says something. But then again, we have Bama and LSU 7th and 8th in the in the SEC.
Scrubs.
So,
well, when each league has 50 teams.
That's how it's going
to
be.
It's easy to do that.
Anyways, I thought it was a great AP top 25, but like Tuna says, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean much.
But it could. But some of those small schools, if they could have gotten them up there, it would be nice to boost them up.
The good thing is it doesn't even mean anything at the end of the year, because the college football playoff poll is the only one that matters.
That's right.
And the best thing about that poll, it doesn't come out till like halfway through the season.
And I will say what I was going to say. I think it's ridiculous that I see other teams receiving votes. And I'm not comparing Kentucky to Louisville. I did with Tuna this week. But Kentucky should have more votes coming in my opinion. Now, Iowa is 25th. They
well, maybe
drummed
they
them.
Can put that up in the locker
they
room.
They drummed them. But, yeah, they can put that up in the locker room. I think they've got weapons, and they've made it to, you know, they've been to, what, 6 straight bowl games.
Took a hit
they've
at running
won
back
some,
today.
Lost some. They took a hit on a running back today. They did.
Some kid that played like 4 snaps at Ohio State, but apparently was going to be a superstar for Kentucky.
He played way more than 4 snaps, dude. He had like 500 yards rushing.
Yeah, if you have over 40 carries a season, you automatically become a Doak Walker watch list candidate.
I don't
like
know.
That's just how it is. Everybody is.
I was looking actually.
He's a nominee
earlier today when that started going around in the text threads, and I was like, I wonder how many guys Indiana has on these watch lists.
No, to everybody.
And I started looking at it, and I was like, well, I never heard of these 3 dudes on defense, and they're all on the preseason awards list.
Yeah, Louisville got some transfer from Miami that's on the
Doak
Walker list.
But you have to be
list.
Nominated. If you're like nominated, you're in a different list. You're in a different list.
Mm. Okay.
If you're nominated.
But that gets us through all of the power conferences. We got our group of fives.
Washington got 23 votes.
Well, yeah,
we got
I
them
know.
As the bottom feeders.
Well, no, I mean, I had them as my complete question mark wild card team that we know nothing about because they've got 100 new players. But next week we'll get into our picks for the college football playoff. We'll focus in on the first weekend of games. And, I mean, it's almost here, and I absolutely can't wait. With that being said, before we go around the room tonight, I know there is a big horse race this weekend, Fred. And I know you have some thoughts on that.
Dude, I'm going to get my crop out and whip your butt.
I'm just showing them that that's how you do when the horse race is coming up.
Tuna, if anyone's betting a horse race, you need to bet this one, okay? We finally got
Torpedo Anna's running with the boys.
Torpedo Anna is running with the boys. You're right. So, hey, it's Midsummer Derby time, people. Saratoga, $1,250,000 purse here. It is called the Travers Stakes. And we all look forward to it because it is the best race after the Triple Crown races are over. It's around 5:30 Saturday. We've got great entries in there. We've got Fierceness coming off a win in the Jim Dandy. We got Dornick coming off back-to-back wins off the Haskell. We've got Torpedo Anna coming in from the Oaks domination and other race dominations. Philly coming in to take on the boys. We've got Sierra Leone, who's always second. We have
maybe if he's Honor Marie instead of bumping everybody.
We have Honor Marie. Yeah, true. We've got Unmatched Wisdom, who is undefeated, a Chad Brown horse, a horse that I like because he will be getting good money. We've got Batten Down, who came in third in the Jim Dandy. All that said, folks, bet the Travers. It's going to be fun, and there's going to be great odds in this. And I am telling you right now, good luck to Danny Gargan, because we all are betting huge on Dornick. End of story. Put your money on Dornick. That's it.
Awesome.
Horse of the year.
Do you think so?
If he wins that, he'll be horse of the year, of course.
Certainly.
But he's gunning for it, man. He's gunning for it.
Well, very much looking forward to that. Want to remind everybody to follow us on social media if you enjoy the show, especially as we get geared up towards football season. I did notice last week we had a really nice spike in the number of downloads coming right off the bat.
Especially from England.
Well, we had one. If you like the show, download it, give us a review, and tell a friend, please. That's how this show grows as we inch closer to our 100th episode, which will be coming up before too long. With all that being said, we are in the downstairs pub. We are at the bar. And so I'm calling last call. Tuna, last call.
All right. So there is a famous hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, known as the Pfister Hotel.
Yes.
The Dodgers are in Milwaukee playing there, and the team has decided, I guess, to stay at the Pfister Hotel, which I think is a terrible idea. Mookie Betts said, who just came back from injury and hit a home run on his first night back, but he said, there's no way in hell I'm staying at this hotel, and he got his own Airbnb. It's probably why he hit a home run. So my question to you guys, would you guys stay in a hotel – if it was paid for, it was a haunted hotel?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, but they've closed that room off. So,
Sure, so the ghosts are just staying in that one room. They don't get out and terrorize other people.
No, we just hang out in the hallway and, like, you know, have a beer or two after the game.
Okay, there's no way in hell I'm staying in there. No. Like, I'm not even going to drive by it.
I definitely wouldn't stay in a Airbnb with ghosts.
Well, no, I think he got one without ghosts.
Oh,
there's a famous hotel in Oklahoma City that a lot of the NBA teams stay in that has the same scenario where some guys just refuse to stay there.
Smart guys. I would never.
I'm going to say this. You've probably stayed in a hotel where someone died or was killed before. You just don't realize it. So
yeah,
it might
probably
be haunted too.
But it's not known
as
haunted.
Are they famously haunted, though?
Yeah, like the water doesn't start running in the middle of the night, or like, you know, my shoes aren't like just disappearing.
The walls are bleeding.
Yeah.
Or someone's not breathing in your mouth going, La Familia.
I don't hear screams coming through my door at 2 a.m. unless I'm staying next to Freddie. But
we went through the entire episode without hearing anything that was tremendously irritating from Freddie. I mean, there are levels of irritating, but that took the cake.
Well,
Freddie?
Hold on. What'd you used to say in the microphone all sexual-like? What was that?
La Familia.
That's it.
Freddie, last call.
Hi, karate. Well, just want to let everyone know that the 10th annual FWVA Federal Water Volleyball Association championship tournament went on Saturday to a great crowd. Fought hard, long, very feisty players. Everyone showed up, showed out, and the winning team, I can't say their name because of the way that we choose the names, but I want to give kudos to, I'll just do first names, Olivia, Michael, and Mike. There you go.
Yep.
And
yep.
They are the 10th annual champs and played well. Travis was in the final. Came up short, but we had some great weather, and had just it's always a great tournament in Louisville. That's in a pool.
Fred, anything else?
That's it.
Jody, last call.
I had two, but I'm adding one. I think in Vegas, our trip this year, one of our hotel rooms was haunted. There was some weird shit going on there.
Definitely full of whores.
Before,
and that was the Paris. The Paris.
Number two, we were outside earlier, and I was talking about one of the highest scoring football games ever. It was actually 1916, Georgia Tech beat Cumberland 222-0.
Oh, shit.
They were on the schedule for the next year, and Cumberland disbanded their team, and Georgia Tech said, we're going to
sue you.
Sure
they did.
We're going to sue you if you don't play, so they had to play him.
Oh.
And the last thing, I try to find random movies that are, you know, like, oh, wow, this was good. 9 out of 10 that I watch are terrible. This one, it was okay. It wasn't great. But it's called Perfect Addiction. It's about MMA fighter and a girl that trains these MMA fighters, and then she becomes an MMA fighter. And I'm looking up the credits because I'm watching the opening scene. It's a drone going down the Ohio River, and it's the city of Louisville in the backdrop.
Huh.
Wow.
And 4 or 5 different times in the movie, I'm like, that's Louisville. I've eaten at that restaurant. I've had a beer at that bar. So I look it up. Where's it filmed? Sweden. Didn't mention Louisville at all. I'm pretty pissed off about that. So
oh,
give
my
us some
God.
Credits. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Don't
I'm going to dig into that.
Don't we have a sister city in Sweden?
I don't know, but it didn't mention Louisville
like
anywhere. It's kind of pissed.
Maybe there's a city over there that looks just like Louisville.
Quickly, I wanted to we've lost too many of my childhood wrestling favorites in the last year or two. So I wanted to say RIP to Kevin Sullivan. For those of us of a certain age, you might remember him in the NWA as the Taskmaster. Some of the older folks might remember him from Florida Championship Wrestling. I also wanted to mention RIP to former Louisville Cardinals head football coach Steve Kragthorpe.
Yes, yes.
I know he catches a lot of grief around here for taking over for Bobby Petrino and the way that his tenure unfolded here. But he unfortunately was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease after he left here and was at LSU for a couple of years and he unfortunately passed away.
He was always a well-liked guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no, everybody said that.
He never had a bad word to say about the guy as a person. So our thoughts and best wishes are with Steve, his family, and his friends. With all that being said, guys, great episode. A lot of good insights into college football. Listeners, if you are football fans and you enjoy the way we talk about football, please let a friend know. Download the show next week and leave us a review. For Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, the big fella of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Lil Fresh. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.